One of the things that happened there was that he had to fill out a clearance, and Jack Helder was next to him, and he filled it out and pitched it away, and the clerk behind the desk said, he said for a lot of trouble. And Jack says, he sure is.
So within a couple of weeks, they take all the airplanes, you fly the airplanes down to Alameda, mm-hmm. right? And they start loading them onto the Hornet. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened the night before you sailed from Alameda? What were you able to do? You POWs, what were you able to do?
Well, Admiral Halsey loaned his gig, I think they called it, and everybody went to San Francisco and ended up in the top of the Mark. Yeah. And while you were up there, it was still daylight in the afternoon. You could see the B-25 with all the airplanes sitting on across the bay.
So how effective were they at keeping this whole thing a secret? This has only covered about a month or thereabouts, I think, from the time the plan was hatched.
From where I sit, I'd say 100%.
Yeah. So. And even from you.
Yeah.
So you leave San Francisco and head out into the Pacific. At what point were you told what the plan was?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't exactly the plan. 2 days at sea, about mid-morning, the PA system came on and said, "Now hear this. Now hear this. This force is bound for Tokyo." And the whole carrier exploded with a bunch of jumping and yelling and clapping and so forth. And maybe after a couple hours, things started to get kind of quiet. People were wondering what they'd gotten themselves into. And I was one of them.
So did Colonel Doolittle give you all a chance to still say you wouldn't go?
The way he handled that problem, I would venture to say that had the question come up on the carrier, he would have made the same comment before. He gave everybody a chance to back out with no problem.
And everybody stayed.
And everybody stayed.
Now you're steaming across the Pacific. There was, how close did they want the Navy say they could get the carrier to Japan before you would launch?
This is a scuttlebutt word, but we were told that whoever got to try it to 500 miles into Japan.
Right.
Other times. It was said to be 400, but at any rate, it was about 300 miles farther than where we had to take off from.
So you were spotted by, now what were those, picket ships, what were they?
Actually, they were a long distance, or a fishing boat, but the Japanese had set up a picket arrangement with a high-frequency radio at long range in contact with Tokyo all across the entrances to the Tokyo area.
So you were spotted early.
Yeah.
And then did somebody sink those?
The cruiser Nashville. Admiral Halsey gave orders to sink it.
But it was too late.
But they had sent a message back to Japan that they had seen two carriers, but they were on their way for a confirmation, which was not going to come because the Nashville had sunk the fishing boat.
So how did that change the plan about when you were going to launch for Japan?
I don't think I can answer that. That was Halsey's job.
Right.
Yeah.
But you launched a day before you originally planned to launch, right?
Yeah.
About 24 hours ahead of time.
Yeah.
You were the first plane to launch, right? Now, did you wait for, was there any kind of join up when the other planes came up in the air? Was there any kind of join up with the other B-25s at all?
No, we flew in a single at a time. And the reason was that we would have used up too much fuel waiting on the others to go. As it was, it took an hour for all the airplanes to be launched.
What altitude did you fly?
We flew the whole mission except the bombing run and the time at the end of the thing at about 200 feet. To go back a little bit, when they took out the Norden bomb site, they took out part of the autopilot. So we had the manhandle it most of the way.
Boy. So when you reached Japan, it was daylight.
Yes.
Were people aware of you? People on the ground see you flying over Japan?
We flew into Japan a little bit north. And the beaches were full of people, either working on boats or just taking sunbaths, but playing baseball, we waved at us. And,
what, they thought you were Japanese airplanes?
I guess so, which was conceivable because they had had a big air raid exercise that morning. The Japanese had an airplane called the NEL, N-E-L-L, two tails, and apparently they thought we were one of those ships.
What was your target?
Our target was the northwest part of Tokyo, the bomber's dream, because he could drop his bombs anyway. We had incendiary bombs, and we were to light up Tokyo for damage purposes and also set up a trail for the other airplanes, particularly the ones that were going to Nagoya and down the chain. Yeah.
What was the process flying in? At what altitude did you drop the incendiaries?
1,500 feet.
1,500? So you popped up?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Well, pretty hard. Easy target to miss.
So well, that was all good, yeah?
Yeah.
So then you headed for China.
Yeah.
So how did that go?
We climbed, went back down on the deck, and about 100 miles, we turned toward China because we didn't want the Japanese to know we were going to it. We flew a heading as Hank Potter had given us all the way across the China Sea.
Had you picked up a tailwind at that point?
We may have, but we weren't aware of it. What happened was that Hank Potter passed up a note and said that we were going to run out of fuel 180 miles short of China. So at that time, Colonel Doolittle said, well, we better have our ditching procedure down, see? And so we got our ditching procedure in our best and so forth. Nobody was interested in ditching because all this time, flying as low as we were, you could see the sharks up on his bed sleeping. But we came to Hank's Point and we still had fuel. And this is when we thought we had a tailwind.
Wow.
Yeah. And we kept flying, and finally the water changed to a kind of muddy and so forth. And at that time we ran into this big front that was over China. And I had to go on instrument. So we climbed to 9,000 feet, stayed there.
Now, there was an airfield where you were supposed to land, but you couldn't land there. Why not?
Yeah. One thing was the weather. The other thing was the airplane carrying a mobile Homer that would have given us a way to land crashed on the way there and killed everybody on board, and so it knocked us out from being able to find or navigate.
So at some point, what, did you run out of gas or you were expected to?
At that time, Colonel Doolittle tried to, in 44-95, tried to raise the Hummer, but no avail. The Chinese heard our engines and thought it was Japanese, so they turned out all the lights.